to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott drink port, but this time it's a white port by Sandiman, their Aperitif Reserve white port. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by a fooled Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm a fool, all right.
Scott's like, I can only do one episode tonight, so. Oh, I know what to do then.
Some dickhead pulls out port.
A port, yes, I did pull out a port, because that's he never said there was an ABV limit, and he's a fiend anyway. But I didn't just pull out any old port. I pulled out something that's been in the queue since last fall. I bought this for the show. Because we never drank a wine this style. We've never had white port on the show or in personal life once. Never. Sherry, Madeira, all types of ports. Yes. White port? No. Why? I have no clue.
Well, has anybody ever had white port?
Maybe no. There's never been a single person ever.
It's a unicorn?
I don't know if it's a unicorn. Port houses make it in small amounts. I mean, it's used. They use, I would name the white varietals. They're all Portuguese white varietals. You've never heard of them. And I can't pronounce them anyway. But, you know, Scott will try to pronounce them here in a little bit. I'm sure he's looking up on Wine Folly right now. But It's a niche thing. Sometimes some of them are even used in mixed drinks. Not what we're drinking tonight, but some of them are. This is the Sandiman's Aperitif Reserve. It's their white port. And it's a little bit different than standard white ports. Like a cheap white port, for instance. Those are straw-colored. They're a bit dry. And they're made, actually, for mixing, you know, port and tonic. Tonic, I think, is a drink that somebody that's douchey would drink. But
I guess I'm douchey then, because it doesn't sound bad.
I've never had it. I'm sure it doesn't taste bad, though. It's like an orange or a lemon slice. I don't know what it is. It could be interesting.
Just soda. You take a drink that's otherwise could be heavy, mm-hmm. right? And it's not really made for, oh, we're having a party and this, and we're walking around, you're having a cocktail. Mm-hmm. Port, you know, it doesn't lend itself to that. You know what I mean? It's sitting in a chair.
I mean, last night I saw somebody drinking ginger ale and vodka.
Okay.
I've never seen that mix before.
Well,
I don't think I would do that. But this one, though, is a reserve. What does that mean? Nothing much, except for the fact it's been on oak for 7 years. 7 years on oak. Oak casks. And so with this one, this is not straw-colored. This is rust-colored. That's what this is. It's an orange wine at this point.
Yeah, it looks like a sour in a beer.
Yes, it does. It's oxidized to the point of exhaustion. Almost tawny in color. So when you said, I'm going to have white port tonight, I poured it and I went, I should have known, but I went, oh, it's not as what I thought it would be.
I mean, I would go like apricot.
It's apricot colored, yes. It looks very decadent, actually.
I mean,
it smells
apricot. Like, it has a tinge of
orange.
Yeah, like that tinge you get in an aged red wine where it has that brackish kind of color to it. This is all brackish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very brackish.
This is the part where Unlicensed is going to botch the grape varietals.
Oh, there he goes. I know you can do it, Scott. I believe in you.
Malvasia Fina.
That's correct. You got ding. I'm going to judge this pronunciation, folks.
Viosinio.
It's not Italian.
That's where I'm going.
You screwed that one up, dipshit. Try again.
What are you going to say there, Wilfred?
What? Viosinho.
Dumbass.
Ho with an E.
Guevo.
Guevo.
Guveo.
It's Guveo.
Gouveio.
Ding. Good job.
Codega. COD with an accent a goo over the O. IGA. Codega.
Do. There's three words in that. Codega do Laranjo.
I'm on the...
I'm looking at it. This is
I'm
wine.
On the Sandeman PDF.
Well, this is wine.com. They can't be wine. I'm sorry, wineenthusiast.com.
Oh, they could never be wrong.
Yeah, Condega de Larino, then Moscatel Garejo Branco, and then Rabigato. I'm going to go Gobato, Mr. Roboto, I think.
I was going to go there,
I
too.
I don't know. Yes, and then I'm sailing away. I don't know the rest of that song, but, you know. People have told me I have too much time on my hands. It was a judge. And I said, you don't know what I do with my hands, sir. And he goes, stand up. I went, not right this moment. Give me 15 minutes. And if you could darken the lights in here, it'd be better. Yes.
You know, if you have a question,
yeah,
you can email Sandeman to the Don. At Sandeman.com.
I had a similar one. It wasn't the Don. It was the Dong with a G. The G is silent, though, right?
Yeah.
Look that up. No. Look up the Dong, Scott.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Is that your work computer? Look that up there.
I think
it'd be safe. Yes. Scott's Pornhub search history is always just the Dong. That's what he looks up. I don't know what that is. I'll have to check it out later.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. Why did you write that? I don't know. This is self-deprecating, I guess.
So that Rob can go to thedong.com.
Okay. But this is interesting.
Finding out if it's the website's available so that he can post his drawings from the wine.
It's a curious joke.
Oh,
I don't know.
You're curious, all right.
A little bit now.
Anyway, we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Sandeman. Yes, that too.
Sandeman. Sandeman.
Yeah, no.
Sandman.
Well, actually, the American pronunciation is Sandman, but it's not.
Well,
it's Sandeman.
I would say Sandeman.
It's
right?
Sandeman. It's not Sandman.
So I love the label with the guy in the cloak.
That would be the Sandman.
He looks like he's an evil character.
He is. He's a rogue, is what he is. Well, what does he have in his hand?
What does he have in his hand?
A candy bar or something? I don't know what that is. What is that?
So he's,
it's not a bottle of port.
Like, got his arms crossed. It's a cylinder. It's red.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Looks like a cowboy from a spaghetti western.
He should not do that in certain alleyways with police around him. Who knows what might happen.
Was that you saying that, or was that your alter ego saying
no,
that?
No, I'm just saying don't do that. Anyway, this wine, first of all, Sandeman, we both buy stuff from them. Their Founders Reserve port, it's just like the $20 one. It's okay.
Yeah.
Actually, their cheap stuff is okay. But they have their Single Quinta stuff is really good when you start getting to that. I have a few of those. Several of those, actually. They're great. But it's one of those, it's a little bit much. This is 23, I think. This is actually $23, actually. $22.99 right now. You can buy it on wine.com. It does have a review. Yes, this is James Suckling. I did not review this wine, Scott. No, I did not. But you know I live in Italy, correct? You know that, right?
Allegedly.
I do. I live in Tuscany. I look outside and
I'm in a back alley over a Dairy Mart, but that's not the point. It's still in Tuscany, technically. Well, it's a Tuscany adjacent. It's nice. It's lovely.
They don't allow you in Tuscany anymore?
Well, I am in a halfway house right now. It's you know, it's... I don't want to talk about it. It's politics, but
damn it.
It's a very, very corrupt system here. Anyway, the Decanter, which is out of England, they reviewed this wine, Scott. They gave it 93 of their points. They wrote, bold, whiskey-like aromas of cereal,
what?
Spices, smoky citrus, and dried fruits. Deep, sweet palate with touches of olive oil, green fruits, and sultana. What the? I don't know. Sultana.
Yeah, sure you do.
Fuck is Sultana?
It's that band, the guy's the mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
I think his name's Carlos.
Yeah, yeah. Sultana. What the fuck is Sultana? Look up Sultana.
I just...
Sultana. Whiskey-alike aromas of cereal. That's not... Okay.
Oh, no. Wine.com's gone to a bot. It's not Carl. It's not Greg.
It's been a long time.
It's not Greg anymore.
No.
Should I ask him what Sultana is?
No. Because they won't know. Why don't you Google it? I'll do it.
I can't get away from the customer care.
Sultana. It's a small, light brown, seedless raisin used in foods such as puddings and cakes. It's a fucking raisin. Just say fucking raisin, you dick. What a fucking
It's
dick.
British.
So what? It's a fucking raisin.
It's a seedless raisin.
So what? It's a fucking raisin. You think it tastes different than a raisin? Maybe it does.
Well, maybe.
But not that much.
Did you see what the secondary definition is?
No.
This is probably what James meant. He was probably talking about your alter ego.
Wife or concubine of a sultan. Yes, it. Well, that is a different taste, actually. It does have a flavor, but it's different. Yes.
Sultana.
Oh, Jesus, that scared the shit out of me. I did not know what you were doing.
I just played the dictionary.com.
Scared the shit out of me because I thought I heard a voice. Yes. Sultana.
He literally jumped.
Yeah, I did.
He did. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
On the nose, I do smell Sultana. Fucking raisins.
Wikipedia says it's a white, a pale green grape.
Okay.
In the United States, it's simply a Thompson seedless.
It's a fucking grape. It's a fucking raisin.
In England, it's a grape that's known as the Lady de Coverley.
It's a fucking raisin. That's what it is. It's a goddamn raisin. That's all it is. Jesus Ace Christ. Now, the winemaker notes say this port's fresh and elegant profile combines perfectly with mango mousse and almond cake. Because a lot of people have mango mousse.
Mango mousse.
Is that like mango chutney? I can make some mango mousse. You want some, Scott? Yeah. Mango mousse.
Well, wait a second.
You know what? Mango mousse and sultana sounds lovely.
The PDF file that I'm on, it says it's more daring as a match with creamy seafood.
Oh.
Vol-au-vent.
I don't think this is. This one is not. Okay. On the nose, it does have a bit of a whiff of limestone character, but there is sultana, naturally. Dried apricot.
It smells like port.
Maybe a little bit of fig. Yeah, it does.
It's not the most complex nose. It just... it's the same for me, that kind of sweet dried apricot.
Fruit
smell.
Cake. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It smells more sweet than a port.
It does.
It's very sweet port note, even for port. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to go in there.
Maybe a hint of mint in the background. Although that might be the peppermint tea on my mustache. Rub still. Drawing air on it. He's making funny faces.
Ooh, that is, it's very sweet. If somebody blind tasted me on this, I would think it's PX. It tastes like Pedro Menez sherry. It is thick, viscous. It belongs in a syrup bottle. This would not go well with seafood. Scott likes it.
No, I'm making a...
Well, you're not coughing anymore.
I'm making a bad...
Coat your throat, man.
Yeah.
It's like Triomedic. I like it. It's sweet. It's very sweet. It's bracingly sweet. It's extremely sweet. Way sweeter than it should be, probably. But yes. It's sweet.
The thing about white ports, they're supposedly drier for a port relative to ports. I don't know what that
this
means.
This one never got the memo there.
It did not get the memo. And it's...
But it has some different... We will get into this as we drink more of it, because I just noticed a few, like through the mid palate, there's a woodsy tobacco, it's a cigar box mid palate, pops and hints of that. That was really nice. It has up front, it's very viscous. Not as viscous as, say, PX is. I mean, PX is ice cream syrup. This is not at that. It's right beneath that, maybe. But up front, it's really heavy on, like, apricot peach marmalade. And it does, like they said, have a very oily olive oil feel to it throughout. And it has just a slight, I wouldn't call it bitterness, but this slight element of green that tastes of a bit of olive oil.
It really does have a little, like, there's different olives out there, right? And some olives have a little nuttiness about them. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have that typical, like, nutty, like, almond thing. This is more like a nutty olive. Like, you can have a green olive that really has a nuttiness about it.
Yeah.
That's the olive that this tastes of.
Mm-hmm. It has a crystalline flavor to it, but it never braces that much, because it has acidity that keeps it a little bit cleaner than that. But right in that mid palate, right in the mid of your tongue, as everything's drying away, is where I'm getting whiffs of tobacco. And that all comes from the oak. A lot of the flavor and a lot of, really, honestly, because you don't get a thing that's particularly oaky in flavor, but you get something that's been well oaked, and that's what's creating the texture and the color. I mean, your unoaked or short oaked white ports that are more for quaffing, that you'd put in a tonic and run with, they don't have this viscosity because they're not on oak like this. And that's what this is so much different than that. This is, I think, because you can get, they're not very easy to find, but you can get a $300 bottle of white port, but it's been on oak for 30 years, 40 years. They make 30, 40 year white port ports. And this is a 7 year. So think of it short term, but it's kind of the gateway, kind of suggesting what some of those things are like. They're like port. It tastes of in the port genre, because like Madeira is a little bit lighter than port in some respects often, and it has winks of a little more orange peel than this does. This doesn't taste like that. This tastes like possibly a lighter PX, but then it has other other elements from the woodsiness that make it a little bit more unique.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could call that peach marmalade thing, that there might be some orange peel in the background with it, but not like you would get from the other ways ports are made that you described. Well, I think if you want it to be there, you can say it's there.
But the oak, I think, kind of keeps it from doing that.
And I think it's, I don't want to say masking, but I think it's the oak is taking over some other things that we might see in a port.
Well, they're saying that serve this chilled, but in reality, this is one where you would serve it like you'd serve port. It doesn't need to be overtly chilled. I don't know that they got the memo when they were kind of putting this wine together, or they just love making their tannies so much you know, they're the, you know, Dave was over there making his tawnies, and he's, oh, Dave, you need to make the white port. And he's like, I don't know why you're Italian, but okay. And so he just goes, says, fuck it. I want to continue making tawny. And that's what he did.
Well,
I don't blame Dave for that impulse. I quite appreciate it and I like it, but still it's not so much of a departure as I thought it might be.
And the departure for me is that it's not quite as complex as what we've come to expect, even in baseline budget ports.
It has
see what
notes.
This is when it warms up.
Well, it's not that cold, but it shouldn't be that cold. This still has nuances that we don't see that often. I go back to the tobacco. I mean, the oak is a lot more prevalent in this wine than it is in a tawny. I mean,
100%.
And it's not oak like we would see in a Chardonnay, mind you. It doesn't come across that way. I mean, it is there, and you do sense and taste the woodsiness of it, but it's almost a background friend. It's like having a nice fireside chat, and you can taste. If you ever had a smoked, we've all had smoked bourbon drinks, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like that, only far more subtle.
Yeah, and
more integrated.
And it's like the characteristics you have in a port from mm-hmm. the oak are the characteristics. It's not, you don't go, oh, I like the oaking in this port. Where here, that oaking is present. And it's just weird for me. I know you talked about it, and I didn't know how. It's not that it's off-putting. It's not that it's wrong. We know it should be like this. I'm not sure I'm digging it. I'm not sure if this is for me.
Oh,
I get it.
I like things that taste like it.
I like the oaking on it, but I'm not used to that in a port.
Well, this is the thing. This is a drink that I would say, and I'm not going to put it back in the refrigerator, I don't think. This is a drink that I would say, we'll drink this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we might try it once in a while, but we're not going to buy the shit out of it.
No.
Because it is a departure, and it does make you look more intelligent if somebody comes over and says, we're going to have white port.
Does it?
No.
Not what you taste.
Not this
it.
One, because it's. They go, well, why is it orange?
Well, I don't. First of all,
it's been on oak for 7 years. Okay.
Who do we know that's going to know what it's supposed to look like? I didn't know what it was supposed to look like.
White.
I didn't say it if I didn't look it up.
It's a white port.
Yeah, I mean, it says,
just,
you know.
It's just lighter colored port. Looks like if you have gallstones really bad.
Color, white, you know? Tone, straw.
It's not.
No.
That's a straw if somebody was murdered in the barn and they bled all over the straw.
A straw that contained blood orange soda.
I mean, it doesn't. It's not straw. No.
That's not.
It's not that color.
Yeah, it's not
just,
straw.
It's just not. It's reddish.
It really is.
It's not that pretty. It's okay. It looks. It's the color of a tea with red in it.
It's almost like red rooibos, but it's not.
It doesn't look like a color that we normally drink, ever.
It's just not quite brown enough to be a tea, but it's headed that direction.
You know, it's almost.
It's headed that direction. It really
yeah,
is.
It is. But it almost, it does remind me a little bit of an extremely sweet, light bourbon. Almost.
Hmm.
That's the.
The color.
And the nose as well.
We're not talking about it being a bourbon, but just the color.
But the nose.
Other than the sweetness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you gotta
take the sweetness out of it.
Yeah, some,
no, I get
some
it.
Bourbons
no.
can have sweetness, but.
Not like this.
Well, not like this.
But no,
you put a Luxardo in there, it tastes like this.
What you're saying, I'll tell you what. That's a nice comparison point. You have your bourbon, and if you're the person who likes to stick your nose in it, and you have some Luxardo cherry in it, I don't know why you would be worried about the nose at that point.
Yeah.
That's what it would probably give you.
Well, I do that sometimes. Like water.
Did you stick your nose in it, though?
No. Watershed bourbon. It requires 2 Luxardo cherries to be drinkable.
Oh, hogwash.
It's bullshit bourbon.
No.
It is. It's
well, first of all, it's an Ohio whiskey.
It is, but that's
made
still
in the method of bourbon. No, it's not.
Hey,
I dare you. How dare you?
All 50 states.
Allegedly, no. According to them. But if you're a law. Proper... I don't care about the law.
Wait, what?
I don't care about the law when it comes to what a proper bourbon is. There is one state that produces bourbon in one state only. That would be Kentucky, sir.
Where do they make Old Granddad? Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They just lost the credibility right there. So, I mean, you know.
Easy.
There's some bad bourbons and, you know.
There's plenty of bad bourbons, but it doesn't matter. Bourbon is made in Kentucky.
Where's Jefferson made? It's made in Kentucky. I was just, I was at the, in Lancaster, Ohio, there's a liquor store called the Pit Stop. There's sometimes my Huckleberry to buy wine that's not marked correctly. But they recently realized that Rodney Strong Symmetry doesn't cost $12. Damn them. Still, they have their allocations come out on a Friday. This Friday, there was like E.H. Taylor.
Nice.
Both the normal and the rye. And
okay.
They have Willett Pot still.
Nice. I love the Pot still.
Yeah, whatever. And
you don't like the Willett?
They had a shit ton of Buffalo Trace. Well, I'm not going to go there at like 7:15 to stand in line, but I went and got another bottle of Buffalo Trace because...
You like it.
Buffalo Trace tastes like Eagle Rare used to taste like.
Oh my God, it does not.
It does.
It is not as crisp, and it still has a burn. Eagle Rare was the smoothest out there. Didn't have a lot going on with it.
Didn't have a lot going on with it, no.
But it didn't have a burn. It was crisp.
Well, apparently Buffalo Trace is a burn to you because you're a bitch. I think, but
Jesus.
I don't feel that
way. Buffalo Trace is one of the harshest bourbons out there. I realize everybody says
they changed the recipe, man.
Different.
They changed it.
It's different now.
It used to be peaty and rough. It did, but it's not like that anymore.
Still got a burn.
Oh my God.
Harsh.
Yeah.
Harsh.
You're very sensitive, boy.
No, it's harsh for an 80 proof entry price bourbon. Oh, that's right. It's not entry priced anymore, is it?
It's $25.99.
Yeah, it used to be like $19.
Easy. I've always bought it in the 20s.
$5, whatever.
Some places, like, they charge $40 for it.
Because they can.
Well, they can people, suck a dick. And,
well, it's because certain people think that it's... They changed it. Hogwash.
No, it's because it's a Buffalo Trace product, and people wet their pants over that. Because they... I don't know why. But when it's $25, it's a good buy. E.H. Taylor at $40 is a good buy.
I like Buffalo Trace products, just not Buffalo Trace necessarily. Buffalo Trace is perfectly good.
You never liked Buffalo
Trace. For mixing. No, I bought Buffalo Trace to mix. I prefer Bullet to mix, but I'm not. It's fine. If you like Buffalo Trace, good for you, I say.
Yeah, you save money when you buy it. Just buy a bottle. It's allocated. They have like 7 cases. Oh, you can only buy one bottle.
Okay.
You have 7 cases, bro. But that's all right. It doesn't matter.
It is what it is.
Nevertheless, though, this wine does have a bit of that bourbon.
Color. Mm-hmm. A little on the nose. Mm-hmm. Why are we sidebarred so long?
And the goat cheese is delicious. Folks, if you're near Costco right now, get there, because I already got mine.
Port story.
The Kirkland 10-Year Tawny. Is really excellent. Really excellent. $20. Allison Crow did not make it. Thank God. Because then it would have tasted like horse piss. But that's okay. It would have been acidic horse piss, though. But wonderful buy. It tastes... I believe it's made by Fonseca. So...
You believe?
I believe. Because
how dare you
it says Fonseca and somebody else I never heard of. So what the hell's that? I don't know. It's a confab. It said Fonseca.
Or it's somebody that's in the United States,
started
an import company.
Jimmy.
Went over there and said, let's see, it's American labeling laws. I know, let's call it a name that's known in the port industry and something else. That'll work.
Fonseca,
nobody in America knew that.
Fonseca is spelled F-A-W-N. I think it's that. But it doesn't matter who ever made it because it's really, really nice. And you should buy it if you see it.
Yeah.
So Scott said that makes people fat because he body shames because he's so thin.
That's it. What I said was when you go and you buy every bottle of it that they have.
Okay. They don't buy it to get fat. They buy it because they're an alcoholic. Okay, there's a difference.
And the sidebar on that is, if you're an alcoholic and you're going to drink port, you're going to become a chubby.
No, you're going to have that. You're going to have diabetes.
That's on top of it.
You're going to have the beaties, man. That's all right. That's all right. Which type is that? Because it's the type that if you stop doing that, then it'll go away. Don't be a judge. Don't be a dick.
I had a nice, speaking of dessert wines or aperitifs, had a nice grappa at Scally's.
I saw an empty
Actually,
glass.
Two nights in a row.
You had Scally's
Two nights in a row.
You're a fat fuck, aren't you? Just that glass. Makes you fat.
Just a glass.
I ate like 100,000 carbs two nights in a row. But if you drink port, you get fat. My God.
If you drink you probably ate every bottle that Costco probably ate has.
It. Well, I probably do that, but that has nothing to do with it. Oh, you mean every bottle? They had six bottles.
Yeah.
I bought two of them. I'm not going to share.
Yeah.
I'm not going to share my Elmer tea that I have, too.
That's a nice bottle.
I don't have that, but you know. I did not win the lottery, the liquor lottery. I also have Lustau's cream, but it's their like Captain Nanyo, who the fuck knows. And it's like $28-29. Lightly sweet, nutty, but it had a blue cheese element to it. It was really interesting. Now it was
that
after
makes me snarl my nose.
No, it had a
I love blue cheese.
But it was interesting. It had a dairy a dairy Stilton-esque quality to it on the mid palate. Now that was after we had already drank a bottle of that 10-year by Kirkland, but you know, but we tasted blue cheese.
This, as it's coming up to temperature, it's getting a little creamier.
Yeah, it's better.
I think it
shouldn't be served chilled. There's an asterisk next to that. I was like, I'm just fucking with you?
Yeah, so in the PD, on the tasting notes, it says you store it at 16 to 18 degrees Celsius, but you serve it at 6 degrees to 10 degrees Celsius.
You do not.
I prefer what this is as it opens up temperature-wise.
Yes, because it's a rich, decadent port. It's not one that you chill. Something that, as things get drier, it is more, in the fortified realm, not in the red wine realm, naturally, but in the fortified realm, the colder you would like it. Like a dry sherry. Assuming that you do have schizophrenia and you want to drink one of those things, you want it to be as cold as, you know, Scott's heart. That cold. That cold.
Cold heart.
Yeah. No, I mean, very cold. But PX, you do not want to do that to. It should be like this. It should be room slightly below. It's cellar temperature. And same thing with cream. Oloroso, a little bit cooler, but not cold. And as you keep going down the road, colder, 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 colder.
So I'll tell you the other thing as this warms up, as this opens up temperature-wise. I think the oak characteristics, not as isolated.
No.
It seems more integrated.
Yeah.
The more this comes up to temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's opening up in a sense that there's more complexity to it or any other characteristics are exhibiting. It's just, one, it texturally, it's getting a little creamier. And that oak thing that was bugging me at first feels a little more integrated. Or, because I've consumed 3 ounces, I'm already starting to get drunk.
I'm not drunk. I'm just awesome. What I will say this. This tastes like a $27 Sanemann product. I mean, it's on that quality level. It's like Founders and all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's good. It's not something that you necessarily steal a car to go buy, but it's good.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. If they had 3 ports on the menu...
What
one
were the
was Coburn's. One was Sandeman's Tawny, and one was this.
You're going to get the Coburn's.
Or I'm going to get the regular Sandeman's, but I'm not going to get this.
What if Morgado was on that?
Ooh.
You wouldn't do that. Mm. Evidus.
Mm. No.
Currently, a Californian Zinport. No.
I might, just because it could what about, be interesting, I would pick the California Zinport.
The Terra de Oro we just had not too long ago.
We didn't like it.
No, it's not good. What if it was made by Bogle and it was Pete Sirahport? You're not going to get that, are you? No, you're not. You're going to do this. But it's not.
What if it was a Turley made port?
I wish they would do that.
That'd be so. Back in the day, didn't they do
a Zinfandel port? I have no knowledge
of. Historically, haven't they done it like a couple times?
I have no knowledge of that.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I'm sure it would be very, very good. You know, they're not going to use shitty grapes like they have in the Hain Vineyard, but they're going to use better grapes. So, you know, better than that. Anyway.
Turley. He's not a fan.
I just saw Hain Petit Sirah at the wine there's a wine shop. It doesn't matter. I saw it at a wine shop.
Did a wine sales rep pick the bottle up and smash you over the head with it?
Because no.
Because of your disrespect for
$199 bucks, right?
Yeah.
But then there was this other box there. And I looked in it. And I saw that nothing was set out. They just had left it there. And I saw Turley tops, and I saw a vine on the label, which I know is
old vine.
Pulled it out. Yeah, they had it $34. So I was like, you know, yeah, that's for sale. I'd rather just do that, just to at least score brownie points with Becky, even though she didn't drink it. And I got that, and I got a green and red.
Yeah, we like the green and red.
Oh, the green and red's great.
Zinfandel.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year ago.
About that. Green and red's great.
We did it.
That was great. Yeah, I don't buy that enough. And it's expensive. It starts off at the 34. That's what I got. But it's a really great winery. And it tastes like classic Zin as we imagine classic Zin, right? Matt, that's the point. As we imagine it, it tastes like what we imagine. So that's all we can do is imagine sometimes.
It's just Rob's imagination.
I know.
Creating all these characters.
Mm-hmm.
It was just Rob's imagination running away with him.
Mm. One thing about this drink, it's a bit lighter than port generally is.
Now that it's coming up to temperature, it was a sugar. I'll be honest with you. It had a sugary texture about it when it was thicker that I didn't care for.
Well,
along with that unintegrated oak.
What I was going to say is, it makes it a little bit easier to drink.
How I can envision myself drinking this product would be as a cocktail. Yes, with club soda. Not the tonic water, club soda. I can envision that. Don't you think it might be a little bit on the refreshing side?
I mean, I would give it a try. I'm not going to, like, say no, but I would say hold the soda. But no, it's going to be a sweeter drink, but no, that might actually work.
I tell you, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
You're shunning the resort's bar, and you're going to bring down cocktail for your friends. You don't tell them what it is. Club soda in a big insulated cup. Couple shots of this. Couple limes in there. They're going to go, oh, this is good. What is it? You're going to say it's white port and club soda. And they're going to tell you you're a fucking liar. Because they're going to love it.
No, they're going to say, okay. They're your friends.
Anybody.
Okay.
I could do it to you and you wouldn't know, because then you're going to say, this is not part.
Why?
Because what I'm saying
is, a good story.
It would be a surprising cocktail. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be perfectly good in that setting.
Yeah. I could see that. It would be a weird color.
Again, you're putting it in the insulated cup, so they can't really see the color.
I would do
it. It would be an on.
I would do this in a highball glass, but mostly port, and then a splash of the club.
That's because you're an alcoholic degenerate.
No, because it would be tastier.
Oh, Jesus,
that's what you do, you bitch. I just put a splash at the parrot. What do you want, a virgin cocktail? Get you a Shirley Temple there.
It's a cocktail. It's not a...
Man, you pussy.
The other thing you can do with this...
What?
You could go 50-50 with a little bourbon and then the club soda. I don't know. Why not?
Because that would be... Why wouldn't you just drink straight bourbon?
People do high noons and add vodka to them.
People are stupid.
People do White Claws and add vodka to them.
Well, the fact that they're doing White Claws.
Let's have a vodka cocktail and drink White Claws, a mixer.
People yesterday brought Becky high noons that are tequila based. And I said, Becky, you're never going to drink those. Yes, I will. They say tequila is great. I said, you don't. No, you won't. You drink margaritas. That's the one thing that she knows tastes good right now. Because she's, although she drank the other night. Oh, well, you know, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, I'm going to bore you to death here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the other night, Triple B and I were trying to relax, and we locked our kids in the closet like we normally do. And that's a joke. Becky locks them in the closet. But anyway, so Becky likes bruschetta. Now, she's a celiac, so you can't just go make, you know, you can't put on a baguette. Although they do make a decent gluten-free baguette. And I've done that before with some pimento cheese and honey and bacon. That was really nice. But, so Char, S-C-H-A-A-R, I think, maybe. They make gluten-free products. Well, actually, that's all they make, pretty much. Some of their stuff tastes like shit. But, oh, no. This was Canyon. It was Canyon. It wasn't Char. Char sucks. Although we have Char crackers here. This was Canyon. Canyon makes great stuff. And so they make these sweet rolls, whatever. And William, my son, said they taste like shit. That's fine. So I knew that William didn't like them, so then I used all the rolls and I cut them into little baguette kind of things, and I toasted them, right? And little olive oil on them, toasted them. And so what I did is I grilled filet mignon too, and let it rest. I put ricotta on each one of the rolls, right? On the baguettes, we'll just call them baguettes. Popped them in the oven at 350 for about 5 minutes, just to warm the ricotta. On top of the ricotta, arugula. On top of the arugula, a diced red onion.
Did you dress the arugula in diced red onion? Like with red vinegar or olive oil or
naked,
something?
Naked.
I like dressing my arugula.
Well, because we're not done yet. Then the filet sliced very thin, medium rare on top of that. Actually, closer to rare. It's beautiful. Then, on top of that, ripe, like yellow and orange and red tomatoes quartered on top of that. And then I got some great glazes. There was a shortcut, right? This balsamic glaze.
Yeah. It's balsamic glaze. Folks, if you don't have that in your kitchen pantry, you're missing out on a great, great food cheat.
Mm-hmm. It's a cheat. And then this chipotle aioli on half and half. Mixed them up. And oh my God. And we paired that with Charlie Sauvignon Blanc. We had a white wine.
Beautiful.
And we sat out and watched the sunset.
Which,
here at the house with the wine vault, we look, it sits east-west.
Yeah.
It's very flat, so we see some amazing
sunset. It's a beautiful sunset. Mm-hmm. Sitting on your front porch.
Actually, in the yard and chairs, so we look like hillbillies. But
that's well, right. You are hillbillies.
Well,
so
a little bit, but
not really. That Rob's not really a hillbilly.
Becky liked the Chipotle. Yeah, Becky liked the Chipotle one more than the balsamic glaze because of the sweetness of the bread. But they were both equally delicious. I'll tell you what, the filet on top of that, that's the only cut of meat that you could use for that because it's the, you have to have something that's tender.
Yeah.
Ribeye cap, maybe, but I was in short supply of ribeye cap. Hank would put round steak on that, you know he would.
I mean,
but it's a inch thick round steak, but it has grill marks on it, but in South Africa it is the cut of choice, but you just have to chew it longer. Are you still chewing it, but it's Tuesday, but we bride on Friday of 3 weeks ago. You're still chewing the round steak, aren't you? I think
there's other things you could serve on bruschetta.
Well, you, no, but that...
Brisket.
Hey.
I think you could do, like, flank steak. I think you could do, like, skirt steak.
Flank steak's too chewy.
No, not if you sliced it thin across the grain. It comes, you pull it apart, it's...
Those are too fatty.
Oh, Jesus. Mm-mm. That's the point of it.
No, it's not.
It's the point of using skirt steak or flank steak.
It's not.
It's tender, too.
You're incorrect.
Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. So closed-minded.
No, no, no.
That's a fact. You're closed-minded, sir.
No, 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 no.
Hey. No, saw a picture of his bruschetta. The ricotta.
Mm-hmm. Warm ricotta.
In the picture, it looked almost like, I was like, what'd you put on that? Like a... Mozzarella. Egg? I thought it looked, or that was what I thought it was mozzarella, but it when I first glanced at it, I'm like, is that a breakfast thing? What is that, an egg?
It was a very healthy
dose of the ricotta.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Did you and so you toasted
I wanted texture
it and then you toasted it again with the ricotta on it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beautiful technique. Because you want the whole piece of bread a little crispy.
And I just wanted the ricotta warm enough to be softened. And then, you know, the arugula is there for texture, but nuttiness. The green, the red onion, very strong red onion, gives you the crisp. It was a texture dish.
Yeah.
You know, subtle flavors, but lots of texture. And you could put like sun-dried tomatoes on that would be delicious. I mean,
the other thing I thought of your picture was that you didn't overload the toppings.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a bite and you get a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Instead of it all falling off from the bruschetta.
You get a burst of the sweetness from the tomato, but you'd always have crispiness. You'd always have the creaminess.
It's the ricotta. I love ricotta.
Mm-hmm. It's underutilized.
I was thinking the same thing. It's an underutilized, underappreciated ingredient.
I also had burrata.
Quality.
I also had burrata, but I went with the ricotta.
Yeah.
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 So, you know. The night before, I had done New York strips, and we had a burrata with, and folks, burrata is like it's a big ball of mozzarella where the center is a bit creamier. It varies. Some of them basically are like a cream-filled center. Others are just softer throughout. This is more softer throughout. It was a little bit better quality, actually, than some of the ones I've had. It was actually excellent, but...
You can get burrata now in the little mini balls?
Mm-hmm.
Not the big chunk, but the little too big. Mini.
Basil, balsamic vinegar, olive oil on top of that. And so, you take a cracker, you'd put a piece of your strip, your burrata, pop in the mouth.
Delish.
Oh, it was, yeah, yeah. I don't remember what wine I was drinking. On Friday night, I drank a Ferrari Carano. It's delicious.
Which,
Cabernet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, by the way, I saw today, Duckhorn, their decoy, their limited series that we love so much that tasted like a asshole. Now it's no longer Napa. Remember they had the Napa cab?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Alexander Valley. So they've decided to rape and pillage Alexander Valley, not just Napa. Duckhorn, we love you.
They're changing some stuff up. They have. Yeah.
We love you.
I loved the Napa for a while, but then it just wasn't as good.
No, but we never liked that. We liked the original, the OG decoy stuff, because it was Sonoma. Their Zin was pretty good. Their Pinot was good.
I liked the Napa, but the first time I had the Napa, I liked it. I bought it, couple bottles,
We had the decoy limited Napa first on the show, and it was just not good. We stopped short of everything else, but it's just one of those things where they want to make money, but at the same time, don't fuck your name up. You can cut me a piece of that Munster too. There's something in a name sometimes, I think. So I think you can stand I make a quick buck. But the people that are buying decoy left and right that suck, they're not buying Duckhorn anyway. You know. Although, I mean, we've done a lot of different Duckhorns. We've done virtually everything that they have in Napa. Yeah, I have. In the cab several times, the Merlot a ton of times. I
mean, the decoy is just not
Chardonnay.
The same product that it once was.
No.
We'll have to try the Alexander Valley. Maybe we'll do that on the show. But
I'll task you to get that one.
We'll take a look at it.
Yeah. I mean, for our Corano's Alexander Valley, and it's old school Alexander Valley, and you just drink it, and you're like,
yes,
home again.
Yeah, well, it's for our Corano.
You don't analyze it. I mean, you don't think about, it has 50 different, you know, nuances to it. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a flavor that you recognize and enjoy. It's Thanksgiving dinner, folks. There are wines out there that I always equate to being Thanksgiving dinner. It isn't all cuisine, but you love what it tastes like. You know, is stuffing like a world-class food? No, and it's very bad for you. But you like eating it when you eat it, right?
Yeah, if it's done well.
Yes, bad stuffing sucks, but that's what like wines like Frey Corano Alexander Valley is to me. It's just, it's mom's home cooking. Well, yeah. Not my mom, but I don't like her cooking.
Easy.
I'm not saying anything that isn't known.
Just lie.
I like my cooking. It's like my home cook. Jesus. It was funny. So we had friends over to watch a soccer game last night, and basically I just drank. But apparently, the husbands of these, it's mostly my wife's or Becky's female friends. Apparently, their husbands are, well, I know one of the husbands, and he's a good guy, but he doesn't cook. He doesn't do anything like that. And the other one doesn't do anything. So, nothing. She basically runs everything. So, I was making 85 different things at the same time. I cooked for 2 hours straight. And so, I made gluten-free homemade mozzarella sticks, because kids love that, right? Nice. I made, Becky said we were going to make potato skins. I made twice baked potatoes. And then she made her chicken dip, but I made it. And she likes to do, it's like a chicken buffalo dip, right?
It's great.
Well, Becky is upset. She hates chicken thighs, right? Guess what? I'm just buying exclusively now.
Chicken thighs.
Yeah. And that's what I bought for dip. I did it.
Was she pissed?
It didn't matter. Because you know what?
Oh, did it matter?
It tastes a lot better with chicken thighs. She acknowledged that because I bought it for stir fry the other night. She goes, I think chicken thighs are disgusting, but it tasted a lot better because of the chicken thighs. That's because they have flavor.
They have fat content in them. Yeah, chicken thighs, if you have the good quality ones, they have a little bit of white meat in there with them, right? Well, and it's a good chicken thigh has brown meat in them.
You get the chicken tenderloins where they don't cut the fucking tendons off them. That's fucking disgusting. I hate that. That is gross.
Yeah.
Trim those fucking things. I would like to find the butcher that is leaving those on there and punch him in the dick.
It's a strategy, and that's why some of it is cheaper price.
Don't leave a fucking tendon on a fucking piece. Fucking cocksucker. I don't fucker. Anyway, so they watched me. Because I made, I don't know, 25. No, it would even number, 26 twice baked potatoes. I don't know how, a huge tray of mozzarella sticks, but I'm flying through doing all this at the same time. And they're like, what? I want to rob. That's what they were saying. And Becky was trying to say the things that we do in the third person plural. I explained to her There isn't a we, it's a me. You don't do any of those things. So Becky's trying to take credit for shit she don't do. Bullshit.
She's a taste tester. It's an important job. How dare you besmirch your wife?
By the way, my twice baked potatoes didn't just have bacon. Oh, no. Pancetta as well.
Had you parboiled them?
What?
Your twice baked potatoes. Had you parboiled them to do them?
Parboiled them.
Yeah. So partially boil your baked potatoes?
No, I baked them.
You just baked them and then gutted
them. Scooped them out, yep. And so it's funny, my buddy Jason, who brought the port, I said, Jason, would you like sour cream on your twice baked potato or would you like creme fraiche? And he goes, I would prefer creme fraiche. So we had creme fraiche on ours. Becky goes, what do I get? Jack shit. You get to get your own. But
you're a bad man.
The kids woofed down the mozzarella sticks. They were good. Yeah, they were good. But yeah. Delicious.
Went to Matt and Tony's today for brunch, and they do a handmade mozzarella stick. They had an interesting breading. Mm-hmm. It was like a two component breading. There was a finer breading that completely coated the mozzarella stick, and then interlaced with that, the breading, there was a thicker, crispier component. It might have been like parm or something, but it was distinctly denser, but it was like overlaid on the smaller breading. So either was intermixed with it, mm-hmm. but it seemed like it was double breaded.
It
was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. A mozzarella. I don't like an overbreaded mozzarella stick, but
my favorite is if you're doing panko. But it's,
that's what
I
these were.
I don't know that panko's always the best thing for a mozzarella stick. You got to get it just right.
Well, it's a delicate balance with a mozzarella stick because you can't overcook it because you don't want to burn it, but you don't want to undercook it so it's not melty.
Yeah.
One thing you have to do though, if you're going to make them at home. After you've made them, stick them in the freezer for about an hour. Don't put them straight in because the whole thing, otherwise the breading will fall apart.
Good
if
call.
If you do that, it will hold on. And it still only takes like 30 seconds max. Turn them constantly and don't overcrowd the pot. If you have a big pot, only put 3 in there at a time.
I think I've heard a chef that recommends that with like a breaded veggie. Maybe.
Most generally, you should always, anything like that's deep fried, other than fried chicken, you should put them in the freezer for a bit so it sets up before you do that. It just helps. Even like fish and chips, it's best that you let it solidify, even in the fridge, just for a bit. Because
I think the British who serve that all the time would just smack you in the face.
Well, it depends, though. If you're doing like tempura, you don't do that.
Never cracked. And that, essentially, that's what British fish and chips is.
Yeah, no, that's what that is. But if you're doing like the panko stuff, you need it to solidify. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to fall straight off.
Right.
And so it'll hit and it'll cook and it'll crisp, create that shell. Otherwise, it would just melt off before it did that. That's the whole key. Also,
and you also have, you just have a bunch of burnt breading in your deep fryer. Yeah. You constantly have to dredge your
it also keeps that
solids out of your deep fryer.
Timing wise, the cheese is just in there long enough to heat up, get melty, but not all fall apart. So it helps with the timing. So
another thing, if you're going to do handmade fried cheese, you want to make it easier? Cubes.
Yeah.
Don't make them sticks. Make them cubes. Yeah. Then you've got to... Everything's going to cook at the same speed kind of thing going on. And it's easier to keep them similarly coated in the fryer, similarly spaced in the fryer.
It makes a big sense to at least have a mozzarella stick. You're using cheese sticks, right? So mozzarella cheese sticks, cut them in half. Why? Because nobody wants to really eat a whole thing anyway. And for kids, they like little things anyway. That's the right size. So I was too lazy though yesterday. I just did the whole thing.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Kids didn't eat them anyway. I didn't even get the chance to put out marinara. They're just gone. Which is always the best sign. Even Henry ate a twice baked potato and he goes, this isn't terrible. I was like, I'll kill you. this isn't terrible. You dick.
So he's showing off.
He hates potatoes. No, he wasn't.
Oh, he doesn't eat potatoes.
No, he likes boxed scalloped potatoes, but, you know.
Boxed?
Yes.
Like Stouffer's?
No. Like, you make them out of the powdered stuff.
Oh, my God. That's even worse.
He likes
like
that.
Like Betty Crocker scalloped potatoes? Like, yeah. A box like that?
Yeah. That's what he likes. Hey, man. I grew up on that kind of stuff, too. So, it that's...
And look how you turned out.
I know. I don't make it that often, so...
It's good.
They even... like, there's Main Street pre-made ones that comes in, like, a tin thing. He ate a whole tray of that one time.
I think it's Giant Eagle's brand. Is Main Street?
I've seen it at Kroger.
No, that's Market
too.
Cafe.
Yeah, I've seen
Market,
it.
Market, whatever.
This is just some random brand. But Main I've seen Street. It. I bought it at Kroger before, but I think I bought that someplace else one time. It was like a gas station or some shit like that. And that son of a bitch ate that whole damn tray. It was disgusting. So, nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Sentiments Aperitif Reserve White Port. We have finished the bottle, poured it into our glass, and we have sediment out the ass in our glasses. I mean, this is like...
Now, Rob, in typical Rob move, dumps the bottle upside down, not thinking, oh, maybe there's some sediment in the bottom. And they, so, curiously, on the website, it said, do not decant. This is the reason to decant it.
Well, it had been in an oak cask for 7 years.
Okay.
And under a sawmill for 4, and a lot of shit got in it. So.
I think they took all the sawmill dust from the dust collector and threw it in the batch.
Forgetting all that, Scott, I took the boys to go see the Mario movie today.
Everybody loved the boys all love the Mario movie. A criticism I've heard for the Mario movie is that unlike other cartoon-based lighter fare movies, it did not have that adult humor embedded in it, and that it was strictly a little kid movie.
Unfortunately, whoever gave that criticism was incorrect.
You're a child.
No, it had adult humor in it, but it wasn't. No, that's wrong.
That's the criticism I've heard.
It's factually incorrect.
Okay.
But it's not made for adults, but it's made for people that played the Mario games back in the day because it has little call-outs. It's one of the better, like, call-out things. I remember the music from, like, Mario 3.
Again, Rob, child at heart.
It was a...
No, just Rob, child.
It was a cute movie. Very cute. That's it. And I looked over at the kids, and they had the biggest, happiest smiles on their faces. Henry said it was the best thing he's ever seen.
And do your boys know the Mario characters? Mm-hmm. Okay, they do.
Henry is like an encyclopedia because they play Mario Kart.
Some kids didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't know
it. No, they loved it.
Luke was down there just happy as, I mean, he was cheering. They were cheering. Mario is a hero to them.
You had to buy your tickets in advance to get seats to see it the first week it was out.
Oh, yeah. No, it was. I'm glad they made it. How's that sound? Now, if I were an Italian-American or an Italian, and I listened to Chris Pratt's version of an Italian accent, I would be very offended because that's not cool, man. It's just not cool. Just don't have an Italian accent, bro. Just talk. Because when you have a fake Italian accent, it's offensive. But whatever.
Like what we do?
I mean,
we're not offensive.
I don't know, man. Ours are more authentic.
That's they're not.
They are.
You just ooze offensiveness.
It's a little bit. But other than that, and we do voices better than Chris Pratt does. So,
well,
nevertheless, it was also weird. So, what's his name? Bowser, who's basically a big turtle, is obsessed with Princess Peach, who's a human, and he wants to marry her.
Yeah,
fucker. Which is
easy. Well, it's a child's movie.
It's a reach to think a big dragon turtle was attracted.
Maybe she likes the big burly type. Well,
she doesn't, but that was a very weird thing. But it almost so reminded me of Spaceballs with Lord Helmet and Princess Daphne. It was almost like that. That's how they were doing it. They really were making that kind of. That's how it was played off. That was kind of funny. That's adult humor. I got that because that's kind of call out
adult humor. The game Bowser could always chase the princess than he could anybody else.
But you never knew why he was doing that.
Okay, you didn't see the little smile on his face?
No. So, Scott, the sentiments. Sediment. I don't taste it, so. There are no comps.
You can't compare this to anything. 87 for me. It's definitely not my favorite port. It's good. I'd drink it again, but I wouldn't drink it as a port. I'd drink it as a mixer.
Well, it has some use now.
It's fine. If I saw it out and there was another port that I didn't care for, I don't know, maybe I would order it out, depending on what it was, just to see if I had the same impression of it. You know what I mean? Where sometimes you're like, let me give it another chance.
Well, it's not bad. It's the style of it is just, okay.
Yeah.
It's a wine where you drink it, you're like, all right.
It's just a little more than meh.
No. I expected something different than what it did. It didn't do anything that was all that unique as a port. It tastes like port.
And even as it's opened up, you know, it's supposed to be this drier style.
It's not.
And that if that's its calling card.
Well,
because we don't have a comparison point, you know, if we'd have had Graham's white port or whoever's white port, and we'd go, this is going to be a drier style because we'd had it before. We'd have a comparison point. When I think a drier port, I don't think that this is not what I envision.
This is not dry. And so
it's not even drier than a normal port.
It's just not dry. No, it's just not.
It's not.
It tastes like port. And you kind of scratch your head.
If anything, it's a little kind of on the sweeter side.
It's not a departure from anything really. And so when you consider it, you're like, so why did you do this? Because it doesn't taste any different. It's not a unique product. It really isn't. I expected something that, well, although the 7 years in oak, you can't expect golden straw colored. You can't. That being said, you're thinking, I expected something that had a different flavor profile. This is a port flavor profile.
You know something we didn't talk about? It does have a little bit of acidity to it.
I talked about that.
Okay.
But,
and that is a little.
Okay. Yeah, maybe whatever, you know, a little bit.
But nothing else.
No, it tastes like port. It does.
I do appreciate the creamy texture as it opened up to temperature. I do feel that oakiness was more integrated as it opened up to temperature. If you drink this, folks, don't drink it at the recommended temperature.
No, it's not. Don't serve well chilled.
Don't. No, I would not.
What the hell are you doing that for? Don't. It's port, folks. It's port. It might be just a wink lighter than a tawny port, but it's port.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's not that special. And it's not even like this thing where you're like, well, you know what? You need to experience this because if you didn't, you're not a real wine drinker.
What was your price point on this? 20, 25, 23?
Yeah. It's like, if you missed this, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
You're not like checking off some box. I like it. I'm going to give it an 80. 87, I guess. I mean, that's nice. It's somewhere between 86 and an 86 and an 87. It's one of these things where it's a palatable drink. It tastes nice. But the question is, why do you want to make your liver work on this wine? If you're tasked with something from Trader Joe's or this wine, you drink this wine. You don't drink the Trader Joe's. You drink this.
Have we gotten a Trader Joe's port?
Yes. Evanus.
Yeah. Ooh.
And ooh. Morgado. Morgado is gross.
Ooh. Well, Morgado you can get elsewhere, was that a TJ's?
That's a
exclusive.
TJ. That's a TJ's.
Exclusive. I know the Evanus was.
Evanus is bad. We actually had somebody reach out to us on Facebook asking me where they could find Evanus. Thinking, because I passed out at the end of that episode. Remember that? But at the same time, we never really suggested that that was something that you should drink. You know, I believe it tastes like sweet coffee grinds. But if someone says, hey, I have Terra de Oro's Zin Port. I also have Bogle's Petit Sirah Port. But I have this thing by Sandemans, and it's their white. You say, yes, you drink it. Because you don't want it over those. But if they say, I have anything from Portugal or Australia, and it's port. Or would you rather drink this? You're going to drink the Australian or Portuguese port. Hell, maybe even something from Spain. I don't know why.
Morgado's not a TJ's exclusive. It's still.
It should be. It's fucking terrible.
Let's see. Well,
it is. It's made by Oscar the Grouch in his trash can. I'm Oscar the Grouch. I make Morgado. God. We should do that sometime. What Sesame Street character would you pair wine with? Morgado port. Oscar the Grouch. Morgado port. I don't know why, but I would always pair Morgado with Oscar the Grouch. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Probably because it belongs in a trash can.
Well.
It does. Evanus, I would pair that with... Bert.
I was going to say Sandemann's White Port I'd pair with Bert.
No.
Yeah? That's where I'd go.
Big Bird. Because no. Big Bird wasn't all that interesting other than he was a big fucking bird. I mean, okay. Hi, guys! He's always high and shit.
Yeah.
You know, he's weird, you know.
Well, I don't think he was weird.
Grover was...
he was just stoned.
You know, Grover...
was groovy.
Was underrated, you know.
You know who's underrated? Cookie Monster.
I was going to say, if you said Elmo, I was going to just punch you. Because Elmo was like Grover's like nephew or something shit like that. Grover had a book, folks. It was like...
Scary Monster.
There's a monster at the end of this book. You know that book. That's
a
fucking fantastic book.
That's a fucking fantastic book.
It is, yeah.
And then Grover was scared at the end, then he was embarrassed.
It was him. He was the monster.
He was the monster at the end of the
book. Spoiler alert. But I love like the actual scale... of the actual book. It was fantastic. It was great. Folks, find Sesame Street. Grover's, there's a monster in this book.
So
I recommend that more than I do this port.
Becky would go to a book reading club and she brought Rob along, and then Rob suggested the group and he did a group reading of Monster at the end of this book.
That's my favorite book.
Rob's not allowed to go to the book
club
anymore.
That's my favorite book, man. That and the Bernstein Bears, The Spooky Old Tree.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's the drawings in that are fantastic. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Bernstein Bears, that's good artwork.
I always thought, that's a big fucking tree.
It was a big fucking tree.
And it was spooky. Yeah. So, folks, that and Choose Your Own Adventure, The Horror at High Ridge. But I think we've talked about that a long time ago.
Jesus.
Folks, if you want to see somebody get a tomahawk in their back, look up a kid's book called The Horror of High Ridge, Choose Your Own Adventure.
The Horror of Wilford Wong.
What? That's all
it... Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh my God, that would be good. Wilford Wong, you could...
Wrong. Yeah. Wilfred
yes!
Wrong.
Here's the thing. It's like Wilford went to the Red Roof Inn, the La Quinta Inn... or he went home. Where did Wilford go?
Red Roof Inn. Oh, you picked the Red. Oh, oh my gosh! You know what you did when you got there? You got drugged and raped by a Croatian drug dealer. Oh, that's too bad for you.
Wilfred ends up in
that's
a bathtub.
That's not the end of the story though, because that's not a kill. That you lived.
Wilfred ends up in the bathtub. Which body organ does he lose?
That's the La Quinta Inn. So you know. Yeah, you don't go to La Quinta. You go to the Red Roof for a good time.
Pick your ending.
Drugged and raped. That's I love that combination.
I'll bet you do.
I do. I don't do that to other people. That's what my attorney told me to say. I don't do that to other people. I'm a victim. I learned, but I'm a victim.
You're so, a victim, all right. Yeah.
I do say, are you going to drug and rape me when I come in the room? They look at me confused because I'm in my doctor's office. That's not what happens here, Wilford. Well, that sucks, and I leave. I'll go find a fucking Red Roof Inn. Quality inns are not quality. I found that out myself.
Really?
No, and comfort inns? No. Not very comfortable.
Not comforting.
Bed bugs.
Well.
You know, and roofies.
It's like croutons on your salad.
It's actually not, because croutons can be crispy and delicious.
Bedbugs aren't crispy? They don't crunch?
No. Well, no. They're small. You can't find them, you know? So
get stuck between your teeth?
You know, the thing is, if you're going to...
What's the thing?
If you're going to get drugged, but they would probably rape you, but then have your liver taken out, or your kidney? Probably kidney. Liver would be... You don't want to be in a La Quinta Inn. I found this out the hard way. You know what happens?
What happens?
They don't clean their bathtubs properly. At the La Quinta Inn. So you wake up, you know, and you're in a bathtub filled with ice and water. And you got wounds, but somebody's fucking hair is floating from the fucking drain that was there before. That's just disgusting.
Are you sure it's not your hair, Wilfred?
No, it's not. I don't have any hair. That just grosses me out. I hate that.
That's a problem.
I left a nasty comment
on
Yelp.
I'll bet you did.
Yes. Then the police contacted me about the first part of my review, but I was like, that was just commentary, you know. I get read the tasting notes. So,
but they did.
So, folks, 287's
No.
Yeah, no, don't.
Not recommended.
No, don't do that. No.
So, what's a reason one of our listeners might drink this?
Stupidity. That could be. Curiosity?
I've been curious before. Don't do that.
It's like I want to say, well, I've had You're other ports. You're not going to hate it. Other ports and it's too sweet. Well, this is sweeter than most.
You're not going to hate it. You're going to like it. If it's you drink fine. Port, you're going to say, well, that's tasty. But you're also going to say,
I'd rather have Coburn's.
You're like,
I'd rather have Graham's.
It's not all that interesting.
It's just not. This is probably the least complex port we've done on the show, other than the two crappy TJ ones. The only thing that's unique about it, it's just got a little hint of acidity.
And it's a slightly different color.
That disturbs
it's made out
me.
Of, it's made out of different grapes, but it still ends up tasting very, very fucking similar.
Except it doesn't have the level of complexity.
No, it doesn't.
No, budget-priced ports, entry-priced ports, Coburn's. You can pull 15 different things out of it.
Penfold's Club.
You can pull 15 different things out of it. Hmm. It's if you take your time.
Presidential Tawny Port.
Oh, that was good, man.
Oh, that's really good. Presidential Ruby or Tawny. If you see that, that's $12. And that will change your life, but you know what you can't do?
You can't find it. But the baseline Coburn's, it's got a lot going on. It's going to have 12 to 15 different things that if you take your time as you're drinking it, you know, you can find these different things in it. That's what makes port interesting for me. Yes, you have to get past that port's a dessert wine. It's fortified, so it's meant to be drink slow. But savor it, and you will appreciate the different characteristics in it. And
well, not this one.
Not this one. I mean, well, no, you can appreciate it, but this is not something you're going to savor and pull 15 different things out of it.
We didn't even bother, folks, because there's
nothing to bother with.
Apricot. or apricot, whichever you, however you want to do it. Peach marmalade. A little bit of the tobacco in the mid palate.
Yeah, which was okay. And then the oakiness.
That's all.
That's it.
That's right. So, folks, with that, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.